This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
In this inquiry report into the murder of my husband, Sasha Litvinenko, Sir Robert Owen found as a fact that Mr. Lugovo and Mr. Kovtun deliberately administrated polonium 210 to Mr. Litvinenko, intending it would kill him. He was quite sure that Mr. Lugovo and Mr. Kovtun did so under the direction of others. The chairman found as a fact and to a high degree of probability that the FSB directed Mr. Lugovoy and Mr. Kovtun to murder Sasha, and also found as a fact that both Vladimir Putin and Nikolai Patrushev, the director of FSB at the time, personally approved assassination.
Well, that's a cut regarding Vladimir Putin likely approving the murder of Alexander Litvinenko. This has been something that has been talked about for a long time, but it seems that the smoking gun is being exposed here. And, of course, that is one of those stories that will, you know, continue to breed. I don't see that being, you know, put under wraps right away because this has been, as I said, you know, one of those things. That's the problem, you know, with the truth, I would say, or maybe the problem with the lie, better expressed, is that lies never seem to go away, do they, guys? I mean, they just kind of...
seems like the truth always comes out, no matter what.
Yeah, eventually it does. I mean, even though we're still waiting on the truth regarding the assassination of a president, but, you know, right. You know, that's a whole other conversation in and of itself. But some of these things just go on and on.
Well, this guy's a scary guy, too, yeah, isn't he? I mean, he just really scares the pants off of me. I see that
Putin?
Yeah, Putin. The Daily Beast, you know, and I just saw this story just came out about 57 minutes ago, is saying that Litvinenko was killed for, quote, calling Putin a pedophile. So we'll see what comes about from that. But interesting stuff.
Well, you know, this
talking to anybody.
You know, when it came out, you're right, Scott. You know, when it first came out, it was like it really, you know, people weren't surprised, but it was just kind of like it almost reminds me of these scenes. I keep seeing this Star Wars scene. Remember, you know, they go into the bar and they cut people's arms off, and then right. And then next thing you know, the music starts up again, and everybody, you know, it's all back to normal right. again. And it's like, what is wrong?
Right.
You know, and it's sad, but this is the stuff that, you know, drive. But, you know, and people say, why does it matter? Well, all this stuff matters because what are you doing? You know, what kind of government do you have here? Is it built on lies? Is it built on the truth? You know, I that's been my passion, you know, about our country right now, how we've come unwound and unanchored from the truth is that I believe that's one of the reasons why, if not the reason why, this country is in the state of confusion that it is, because we've unanchored ourselves from the truth. Yeah. It's like it's so casual. It doesn't matter. I mean, why people can tolerate the Clintons, for example, and I know that sounds harsh and it sounds declarative, but to me, there's just too much there, you know, to just stick your head in the sand and, you know, why are we talking about this? And, you know, and as we were talking with Megan Barth in the last hour, what are they going to do if she gets indicted? I mean, you know, if it was a Republican, they'd have resigned how many years ago? Not even months. You know, that would have been a fait accompli and next case. But,
I agree with what you're saying, but this is, I mean, if I was a Russian, this would be something that I'd care a lot more about. Like, this is something that Russians should care about. Their leader is killing people.
Exactly.
And so this isn't something that we, as Americans, need to get involved in. This is Russia. This is the problem that we have, is that we always try and put our nose in places where...
I'm not suggesting we get involved in anything more. We got enough problems of our own. You know, it's that old saying, you go pointing fingers and you got three coming back your way. Hey, on the good news story side, you had a good one. A World War II vet is going to reunite with his girlfriend after 70 years. Wow. I guess they missed that time that those pictures that we see in Time Life where, you know, when the war was over, everybody was kissing. But here they get to get back together after 70 years. What a sweet story. We've got more coming up. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, we're back with you, and if we're going to get back on track, it's going to be a bottom-up movement, as we insist. It's about we the people, though there would be a lot of people that would like us to ignore the Constitution. You know, I am so grateful for it, and I believe the power of that document is still alive and well, though there are many that would want to ignore its principles. It is the basis of this country, and though some would want to deny it, I just believe it's not going away quite that soon. And, you know, it's going to be up to us, ladies and gentlemen, to hold the politicians, to hold those in leadership accountable, to keep us on track and to follow what our founding fathers had intended for this country. And that's how we're going to get back on track. But it's going to be a we thing. It's not going to be an us-some thing. The elites is what got us into this mess to begin with. Well, New York City's murder rate has soared nearly 10% in the last year. Are you ready for that number? I know you've been hearing that there's been an increase, but these are some empirical numbers for you to chew on. In Chicago, the homicide toll climbed 20%, and in Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and St. Louis, the rate has skyrocketed by 40% or more. Is that astounding? Well, our next guest, Barry Lancer, has written a new book. It's The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. And he's going to break this down for us and open our eyes to understand what is going on in our country. Barry, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. Glad to be with you.
Well, these numbers are incredible. We've been seeing, you know, and hearing about it on television, but when you're hit in the face with these black and white numbers, 10% New York, 20 Chicago, as high as 40% in Baltimore, St. Louis, in Milwaukee, murder rate 76%. I mean, this is astounding, Barry.
Yeah, but these are one-year figures, Bill, so we got to be careful. If we go out a little further, as I did, the numbers don't look so bad, so I don't want to alarm people too quickly. For instance, if we go back to 2010, which isn't that far back, I took the murder rates in the 10 biggest cities in the country, and I found that between 2010 and 2015, murder was actually down 7%. Sorry, 16%. So it all depends on your baseline, as they say. It all depends on your starting point. So what I would conclude from this, Bill, is, and I don't dismiss these high numbers in places like Washington, D.C. and Baltimore and Milwaukee. These may be a harbinger of another crime rise. I don't dispute that. What I'm saying is it's too soon to tell.
Right. Well, I understand, and there's many sociologists that look at these numbers, and the alarms are going off, and they're asking the same question we are, Barry, and that is why. You know, what is going on?
Right. And at this stage, if we don't face a general rise in crime over the whole country, I would say you have to look locally. In other words, the police chiefs and the brass from the police department in each of those cities would probably know a whole lot more about why crime is rising there than I would.
Right. And, of course, there's been the attack on police because of some, you know, instances, very shocking, no doubt. But it does not speak of 100% of the attitude of law enforcement across this country. But they're under indictment, and it, in some cases, is putting our law enforcement officials in jeopardy because they're hesitating. And when you have decisions that have to be made in seconds, hesitation can kill you.
No question, and they call this sometimes the Ferguson effect when, you know, because of all the protests and the threat of lawsuits or even prosecutions, police are hesitant. And is this really happening? How big an impact is this having? Again, I hate to say don't know, but it hasn't been studied in a systematic way yet, so we can't draw conclusions yet. But, again, I wouldn't say flatly, no, this is not the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think at this point, with these numbers as high as they are, not necessarily that they would be absolutely definitive, but at this point, just about everybody's opinion could be valid in chiming in as to, you know, what is the cause of what is going on. I mean, it just would seem that our country is at a point and I want to say a very dangerous point where the divisions are running so deep and so multiplied these days.
Now, fascinating question. Do these social conflicts yield higher crime?
Mm-hmm.
An argument for that view, it would be late 1960s when the big crime tsunami began in this country. And the social divisions were intense in those days. Civil rights protests, Vietnam War protests, tremendous divisions, enough to drive a president out of office. Lyndon Johnson couldn't even run for another term of office. So does that mean higher crime? Back then, it seemed to. It contributed to it.
Right.
Would that happen again now? I'll tell you where I think the bigger red flag is, and I think you'll find this real interesting. When you undermine or weaken or cut back on the punitiveness of the criminal justice system, that's always a risky thing. That risks incentivizing violent criminals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we're doing now because liberals and conservatives seem to agree that the criminal justice system is too harsh, too punitive. They've forgotten the reasons why it was made harsh in the first place, of course.
Mm.
And now we're in an era of, let's say, cutbacks in the punitiveness of the system. Will there be a price for that? Possibly down the road.
Mm. Barry, is it, I see some adjustments that have occurred in the criminal justice system, some would say the injustice system, in trying to find that, and maybe, as Newt Gingrich would say, perhaps we're meddling in social engineering in areas that we shouldn't be doing, in trying to figure out an answer, you know, to this. I don't know if you saw that video from Johan Hiri that was on TED TV. I thought it was brilliant. And he looked into this. And one of the things that he concluded from his study was that what was missing out of the criminal justice system was this relationship issue. And there was one country, I believe it was Portugal, that had gone against the tide and said, what we're going to do is, yes, you know, there's going to be consequences, but we're going to do everything we can to keep that, you know, to keep the person, the criminal, let's say, connected with his with his primary family. And how they did that, I'm not sure, but what was happening was the recidivism rate that was being demonstrated there was dramatic. So obviously we're missing something in those arenas where, you know, relationships need to be, you know, regarded. And also that in terms of punishments, I mean, as much as we hear that it's harsh, we're hearing in many cases that, you know, it may be too soft and maybe, you know, it's trying to find that right balance again, possibly.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Good point. Good point. As for punishment.
Well, let's do this, Barry, only because we've got a break here in about 20 seconds. And let's pick it up from there on the other side of this break. We're talking with Barry Lasser. He's the author of the book, The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. I know you're asking, okay, why? What, you know, what is going on in our country? What's happening in our neighborhoods? We've got more from Barry on the other side of the break. It's 14 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to supernaturalsilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hey, it's me back back with you at 19 after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, all over America. Barry Latzer is with us, renowned criminologist, author of the new book, The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. Barry is a professor emeritus at John Jay College of Criminal Justice and the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. Served as assistant district attorney in Brooklyn and an appellate counsel for indigent criminal defendants in New York City as well. Barry, I want to give you a chance to finish up your thought before we went to break. We had to cut off here, so I'll let you pick it up from there.
Thank you, Bill. So on your point about recidivism, no question we have a serious problem. If you look at prisoners coming out, and it depends on how much time you wait until from their release point, you have anywhere from 43% to 65% recidivism rate. So if something can be done, and if we can get some suggestions from other countries about what could be done, keeping them connected to families, having some sort of support for them once they're released, I'm voting yes. I'm in favor of it, because
exactly.
we got a serious recidivism problem.
Well, Barry, we're missing, I believe, in this country, an invaluable brick in the foundation of, what makes our society and our culture work, and that is the family unit. I believe at all costs we have to fall in the middle of that, you know, stand in the gap, as some would say, whatever it takes to, you know, hold that family together. I mean, clearly what's been happening in our country, the level of fatherlessness, the attack on the family, what's happening with, marriages in our country, all this stuff is contributing to all this disorientation, this confusion, this loss of self and future and hope. And when you have that kind of, you know, hotbed of environment to grow in, it's no wonder that, you know, crime at any level is going to continue to grow and run rampant. And it seems more today that it's running, you know, seemingly unchecked, some would say.
We don't know whether the breakup of the family unit has actually caused violent crime, but I will tell you this, there's no question that the breakup of the family structure was occurred at the same time that the great crime rise occurred. In other words, starting in the late 1960s, we have a much bigger breakup of the traditional two-parent family. And so the two events are happening at the same time. Whether they're causally related or not, I haven't found the studies sufficiently to prove that relationship, but certainly they're happening at the same time. That's a red flag. That is something to be looked at.
Yeah, I would think if nothing else, it would be contributory, just on the surface. But I agree with what you're saying, and I appreciate that you're looking at this empirically, because for me, in the absence of facts, opinion rules, and we can opinion this thing to death, but let's look at the quantitative analysis that we have available to us and come up with some proper solutions here. You know, one of the things you referred to was what happened in the 60s and how riled everybody got, whether it was about Vietnam and, you know, challenging authority and all this. And maybe we're just doing the cycle that we go through, and that is that, you know, we go nuts for a while and realize that doesn't work. And then we start, you know, getting our acts together. And there's, as it was in the early 70s, we had what some would say a revival that took place, and where people connected with their sense of morality. Maybe that's what we're headed for.
These things change, no question about it. And it seems that in the more permissive periods, you do get crime rises. So, for instance, we had a big rise in crime in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. And then in another permissive era, the late 1960s, another huge, and this one biggest of all, rise in violent crime. So there certainly could be, and I think there is, a connection between, let's say, relaxed social controls, as the sociologists call it, mm-hmm. and violent crime. And the strength of the criminal justice system is a part of that. That's the worrisome part to me. Mm-hmm. But the other red flags aren't there. I don't see, for instance, immigration or migration of high crime groups taking place. I don't see the demographic issue we face in the late 60s with a baby boom coming of age, reaching 18 to 25 when lots of crimes are committed. Instead, the society is aging. So you're absolutely right. We have to study this systematically and empirically. What we intuit is the explanation may not be the explanation. We've seen that over and over again.
Well, we have a lot of balls in the air right now with a broken immigration system, people coming into this country that, you know, we can't vet and understand. This is even before, you know, the proposed influx of, you know, pending refugees coming in, the threat of terrorism in our shores, all this stuff, you know, and I just wonder in terms of the rise and fall of violent crime in America, are we stair-stepping, you know, to a point to where the kind of crime is going to be even much more violent than we experienced previously?
If we just take homicides, just murders alone, the alarming thing is that the numbers show, and I just looked at the latest numbers that the FBI put out in their publication, Crime in the United States, the numbers show that almost three-quarters of all the homicides in the U.S. involve family members or intimates or acquaintances of the victim, not strangers. Only one in five involve strangers, and fewer than one out of ten, 9.5% of the murders involved someone who was committing a felony at the same time. In other words, a robbery murder or a rape murder. One in ten. That's remarkable, Bill, and disturbing, too.
Yeah.
Because it gives us a concern about what's going on with these families, what's going on with these neighbors, what is going on with these people who know one another and are willing to then take a gun and shoot the other person. That is worrisome.
Now, Barry, are these numbers that we're talking about, 1 in 10 and, you know, and these numbers, are they fairly consistent or are we seeing an increase in those areas as well where there's increased agitation, you know, amongst neighbors?
No, it seems that it's been consistent. It hasn't been a situation where it's gone up and down, at least in the last, say, 10 years or so. It has been consistently high. And that's a very worrisome thing. So there's something cultural, as they say, going on with a propensity of Americans to engage in violence when they have these conflicts with their loved ones, with their family members, with their friends. Mm-hmm. That's very disturbing. And for that to account for 73.5%, if you want precise figures, of the homicides in the U.S. in 2014, the last year the FBI's data covered. Wow, that's disturbing.
Well, and you consider these numbers in your book. You also address the economic issue. Let's touch on that. We've got about a minute and a half. You know, economic impact on violent crime.
Okay, so here's the fascinating thing, Bill. One of the fascinating findings in my book. When I look back over history, most people think, well, when the economy goes bad, crime goes up, but not necessarily with violent crime. It seems that sometimes violent crime goes up when the economy tanks, and sometimes it goes down. Here's an example, and then I'll give a recent example. Great Depression. In the early years, peak of the Depression, early 30s, crime was soaring. Violent crime was high. In the later years, from 34 on, crime sank and the Depression was terrible. More recently, 2007 and 8, we had the huge Great Recession, as it was called, and crime kept falling. Violent crime kept going down.
Interesting. Well, Barry Lasser has been our guest. I'll tell you, this book is very fascinating. You know, whether you have a passing interest in what is happening, but certainly it is an issue that we need to address and make sure that we're going into this with our eyes wide open. And he definitely opens your eyes sincerely here. He's the author of the new book, The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. Barry, thank you so much for the book. Thank you for, the breadth and knowledge that you're sharing with us. Hopefully we have ears to hear and we can do something about this because it's going to be something we need to do together. Barry Lasser on Bill Martinez Live. It's 28 after the top of the hour.
Make a resolution for the new year and improve your health with exercise, a healthy diet, and plenty of water in 2016. Keeping your body hydrated is essential for your health. While tap water may look and smell clean, it may contain contaminants that are picked up on its journey to your faucet, which could be harmful to your health. Make sure your water is cleaner by using an at-home water filtration system, like Pure's Advanced Water Faucet Filter System, which can greatly improve the quality of your drinking water. Pure's faucet filter systems are certified to remove over 70 contaminants, including 99% of lead, 92% of pesticides, and 96% of mercury. The faucet filters last up to 3 months or 100 gallons of water and reduce 10 times more contaminants than the leading pitcher. Pure's faucet filter systems are easy to install and require no tools and start around $20, making filtering water at your home simple. Improve the quality of your water by filtering with Pure and raise a glass to your health and hydration this new year. For more information, visit pure.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowitz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID.
Getting America back on track.
The face of the nation.
You guys crack me up.
Bill Martinez live.
You ready? Ready
or not? Oh, quit tickling her. Hey, it's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez back with you. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. We come at you every Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 live Eastern Time. With us right now is Karen Merrick. Karen is founder and CEO of Pocket Mentor and a highly experienced entrepreneur. She graduated from UCLA with a degree in political science. We're talking UCLA like the Bruins in Southern California, because I know some of you, you hear UCLA, and of course you know about UCLA. It's a legend, especially when we want to talk about basketball and all the good things that have happened out of that campus, including Karen Merrick. Karen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Great.
Hey, great to have you here. Real quick before we get into the topic, because we're going to talk about Nikki Haley's response and the controversy that has brought. Anytime somebody talks, it seems to be controversial these days. But I want to talk a little bit about Pocket Mentor. I was really intrigued by your concept.
Thank you. Well, Pocket Mentor is a mobile app for leaders who want to grow themselves, their teams, or their business or nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me more.
Well, every leader needs to constantly, continually improve. And so this mobile app is for leaders that are motivated to constantly improve. It's got step-by-step guides on managing people, meeting deadlines, managing your time, and growing yourself as a leader. And it actually answers a lot of the questions that every leader wished someone would have told them as they continue to scale to the next level.
Exactly. Well, the thing we understand as leaders is that it is a dynamic process. It is not static. You're either growing or you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you're losing. You're falling behind. So the fact that you have something like this involved, now how can people get engaged with Pocket Mentor?
Well, thanks for asking. You can go to my website, yourpocketmentor.com, and you can download it there. It'll take you straight to the App Store. It's free for the first 30 days. And it's the amazing thing I believe about the Pocket Mentor is that it's right on your smartphone, anytime, anywhere, just in time. If you have a question, you can search and you can find an answer to it. There are video minutes in there, and it really gives you, it supplements everything else that you're learning and doing in your life, and it's available to you anytime, anywhere.
Well, I'm going to focus on your political science degree at UCLA. Let's put it to work here, okay? Let's talk about Nikki Haley, and you say the four reasons why the governor's speech was one for the books and maybe even the ballots.
Well, yes, and indeed, you know, since my time at UCLA, go Bruins,
yeah.
I have become a leader in the business world as an entrepreneur, and so I really can speak, I think, from the perspective of leadership more broadly. And we all want leaders, whether they're political, and that's what we're talking about now, but in all of our lives, we want leaders, we want teachers, parents, CEOs, managers, anyone in leadership, I believe, if they're going to be effective, they will have certain qualities and they will exhibit them consistently. And I really believe that Governor Haley's speech hit the mark in all of the important ways in her response.
Mm-hmm. Now, she had a lot of kickback on it, and that was because, much like some leadership that's been demonstrated here recently, when you're calling out these things, I really felt that she was being honest. She wasn't, trying to placate or be ingenuous by no means whatsoever. She was saying, look, we got a problem here in River City, and here's what I think.
Well, Billy, you've just touched on one of the key aspects of being an effective leader, someone who's able to affect lasting change, and that is authenticity and honesty. Mm-hmm. And yes, she did have one line in that entire speech where she acknowledged that there is some fault within the Republican Party. But Bill, mm-hmm. isn't that what every other major group is saying right now? The Tea Party group is saying there's a problem within the Republican Party. She actually, I think, more than anything else, was identifying something that everyone in the whole country would agree with, which is that there is room for improvement.
Without
and a good leader will do that. A good leader will say, oh, I've made a mistake. I'm responsible. I own it. Let's move forward. And she did that beautifully. And I think the folks that are criticizing her would do well to pause and reflect on the fact that they're actually in agreement about something.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that's kind of surprising to your point here, Karen, is that people's knee-jerk reaction is to get defensive. And when you do that, you don't own the problem. We talked earlier with Jeff Kemp, former football player, and Jeff does a series called Facing the Blitz. And one of the things we talked about was responsibility today and what that does for leadership. We're talking husbands, wives, people that find themselves in responsible positions. When you take responsibility, you own it, and how that develops your character and makes you an even stronger leader, doesn't it?
It does, because it builds trust. It really does build trust, and I really believe that she is also exhibiting something that Stephen Covey said, which is begin with the end in mind.
Yes.
She knows that mm-hmm. whoever wins the presidency, like every leader, you're going to lead people who don't agree with you. You're going to lead a variety of people, and if you want to do that, you need to earn their trust. And we have examples of leaders like that in the not-too-distant past, political leaders like President Reagan, or other leaders that you can think of, even in your own life. You can think of a leader, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it is a parent or someone that you work with, and you don't agree with them all of the time, but the fact that they are willing to acknowledge shortcomings endears them to you. You mm-hmm. trust them more, and you are more willing to collaborate and work towards a solution with someone like that than someone who is in denial or who is pretending that the shortcomings don't exist.
Yeah, when you have leadership like that, Karen, they will go through steel buildings for you. They will leap tall buildings. They will take a bullet for you. You know, I've seen this time and time again, and America has been lacking for a long time to have a genuine, honest leader, one that wants to take all the hyphenation that's going on around, you know, our country and destroy it and lead America. Let's not talk about blue states. Let's not talk about red states. And I think that was the biggest disappointment of this current administration, is that we had only hoped, Karen. And maybe it's unfair. I've heard some black leaders say, I think you're being unfair to think that he would be a unifier. Well, I got to tell you, I think most people, in retrospect, when they cast their vote for Barack Obama, hope upon hope was that he would unify the country, and he did just the opposite.
I think in leadership, we can forget, particularly newer and younger leaders, and as I've mentioned, I've started and grown a number of enterprises and even nonprofits. And when you're in a new leadership position, you often will misunderstand how often it is that you need to affirm what's working. You cannot constantly be criticizing. You cannot constantly be finding fault. That's like being a perfectionist. And that really demotivates people. It discourages people. And so if you have a pulpit like the presidency, or you're a governor, you certainly do need to point out problems that need to be solved, but you also need to point out what has been working. And you can think of this as a parent or a teacher or a leader within your own company. It is not realistic, and it's not even true, to say that everything is wrong and misses the mark all of the time. And I think exactly what you're speaking to, Bill, is what we've seen in the leadership of our country, which is we have had a leader who has erred on the side of criticism, criticism, criticism. It's not working. It hasn't worked. And it's one thing to say, yes, we have a ways to go. It's a different thing to say we just haven't made any progress at all. And you will not be able to lead in that kind of an environment. And I do believe that that is in part what we're seeing.
Well, I'll tell you, Governor Haley's stock definitely went up. I mean, she's been a quality person time and again whenever you see her on the national stage like this. Some are saying, boy, she needs to be seriously considered as a vice presidential candidate. What do you think?
I agree that she absolutely should be considered, because she, not only in this moment, did she rise to the occasion and was thinking about the long-term impact of her remarks, but even recently, through a number of controversies, she has led a diverse group of people to achieve things that previously were considered impossible.
Exactly. Well, Karen Merrick, founder and CEO of Pocket Mentor. Karen, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 19 before the top of the hour.
If survivalist housing has been in your plans, get ready. We're bringing our Timberline Range Camps to you February 6th through 14th, the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Get an up-close look at some of our most popular Timberline models, or visit survivalistcamps.com to pre-order a camp. We'll bring it to the show and save you the cost of shipping. It's the perfect time to get that camp you've wanted. Go to survivalistcamps.com, then plan on joining us at the Great American Outdoor Show in February in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, Go to AARP.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain and the mountains.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
I know you're hearing Christmas music. You're going, Bill, what's going on here, man? And we know we just took our tree down. In fact, it was so funny because when I was talking with Lauren Kitchens earlier, she goes, yeah, I just put my tree down, just took it down. And I think the official take your tree down day happened before I left for Israel. I think it was like the 6th or 7th of January. But, you know, hey, I'm a Christmas music kind of guy because I think anytime you hear Christmas music, how do you be depressed? And, you know, I mentioned to you is the kids are always making fun of me. And they're going, wait a minute, what is happening here? You know, why are you listening to Christmas music? It is April. Well, you know, it's just you get that mele kalika maka moment in your brain and in your heart. And you just want to, you know, smile. And how do you stand depressed, you know, when you're listening to Christmas music? That's it's just me. What can I tell you? Did we get Steve Moore? Were we able to connect with him, guys? Okay, we're still waiting on Steve Moore. Steve Moore, of course, economic consultant with Freedom Works and Fox News contributor. And we're going to talk about Dr. Ben Carson's tax plan. Of course, it was sad, you know, for those of you, you know, we've been praying, for, you know, Dr. Carson's volunteer who had passed away in a tragic accident there in Minnesota. It's just, or was it Iowa?
Iowa,
yeah, exactly. And it's 25 years old. I mean, you know, here's a kid that was, you could tell, you know, that just had a heart, you know, for the system, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, wanting to help out in the political process, and something like this tragically happened to him and the impact that it has on his family. And Dr. Carson, I tell you, I've loved Dr. Carson just from the get-go when he took on these, you know, these blatant issues in our country that we needed to take on, you know, such as political correctness. Because how can we have a conversation if we can't be honest with one another? And, you know, sometimes being honest can be offensive because, you know, we're just not used to hearing the truth. And, you know, as we've been talking, this seems to be the order of the day and what we've been talking about, guys, today, you know, whether it was with Jeff Kemp or with Karen and, mm-hmm. you know, others, that, you know, it's hard to be honest. But, you know, are we going to take the responsibility? And I think that, you know, our country today, and I say this kind of as a mentoring moment, and not only for those of us adults who know this, we've experienced it when we've, you know, wanted to turn away from responsibility, we pay a big price, and the prevailing attitude in our country today, which I think is so injurious to, you know, our young people and our future leaders, is that we kind of tell them it's okay to escape responsibility, and especially when you have something like what's going on with Hillary Clinton today, you know, what message does that put out, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's a really, really, really kind of deep view, I mean, on the way things are nowadays. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's kind of like we tell them it's okay to kind of skirt around these issues a little bit, and maybe, you know, maybe that's the wrong message to send.
Well, and I would say that when it comes to the Clintons and Hillary Clinton, in terms of her stock as a political candidate, it would go a long way if she was forthright. I would think. I mean, people would say, look at, you know, and that's the issue that I have with her husband, you know, with Bill Clinton through everything. And you look at the impact, I still maintain sociologically, I mean, this is probably one for the classrooms and something to be talked about, is the impact that one Bill Clinton had on a sexual revolution at the end of the 20th century and the start of the 21st century. As a result of him saying he did not have sex with that intern, because I got to tell you, I started looking at testimonials of people's attitude about sex after that happened, and what impact it had on the young people in terms of the definition of sex, what was acceptable. Mm-hmm. Wow, I mean, it was pretty crazy stuff. And it just kind of like one of those things that it kind of a wave that went through our culture and it passed on through. And, you know, some people afterwards kind of said, hey, what happened? But what concerns me is you have a little bit of the DNA of that episode that carries on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it proves the point that we need to choose our leaders wisely, I guess, huh?
Well, absolutely, and I think we need to make, go back and, hey, the choices start with us. You know, we have to make choices. We have to take advantage of these, you know, I say Salem moments, you know, and this is what, you know, a reference from the Bible, and it's one of those words that's in there that tells us, hey, this is profound. You need to stop and think about this, and I think there's benchmarks that and bookmarks along the way of life that we have come in contact with that I think we need to really ponder and think about, you know, much more deeply as opposed to just letting it, you know, come through, pass through, just, oh, that was a phase. Well, you know, but is it a phase that had a beginning and an end, or is it a phase that's going to somehow spread its DNA and somehow become acceptable? Because I think that's where we are in America today, is that we've been so accepting. It's kind of like my old mentor used to say. He said, Bill, sometimes you can be so open-minded that your brains are going to fall out. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think not only what Shane says, choosing your leaders wisely, but holding them accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're supposed to hold leaders accountable, and we don't do that. We have plenty of tape that shows the Benghazi thing where Hillary says, I never talked to the family. Well, we have film, video of you doing speeches where you say you talked to.
Yeah.
Under oath, when she went to talk to Benghazi, that I talked to the families. So if you're not going to hold your leaders accountable, then what's it matter who you choose to be your leader?
That's a great point, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, you talk about video. When I saw the video the other night of the interview with Sean Smith's mother, my heart was devastated to hear the cry of Sean Smith's mother. She was so frustrated that all she could do was say that Hillary, you know, lied to her. She's lying to the rest of us by saying that she didn't have this conversation. And the other parents, I mean, you just sense that they're, with her statements, with Hillary's statements, that she's reopening that wound.
The same wound, yeah. Yep, exactly.
You know, is that unfair, or is that, do you feel, you hear what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I think it's just kind of, exacerbating, you know, circumstances against these people that are already suffering, and yeah, they just keep opening that same wound and keep reliving that same thing over and over again here, and yeah, it's a bad situation.
And Scott, doesn't it exasperate you when they say, hey, we want to really study this thing so we don't reproduce it, but yet they're doing everything they can to reproduce it?
Well, I think the bottom problem is that they say, oh, we don't want this to happen again. Well,
exactly.
In order for things not to happen again, you gotta be forward with the information.
Yeah.
And it's that they keep everything so hidden from us. And the problem with that is that it's not like we're not going to find out the information, because there are people that were there that are going to tell. We're going to find out the information as a society. And then what happens after we find out? Wouldn't it be better for them to be up front? And obviously, if you have shortcomings, you have shortcomings. But if you're up front about it, well, now we know the problem. Let's work on the problem. But if you keep things hidden, we don't know what the problem was.
Exactly. Well, you know, and that's been one of my biggest challenges. You know, I grew up and had to witness the assassination of a president. And to this day, we do not have the answer. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, why is it that we want to believe that one guy with a $29 rifle assassinated the president of the United States? Are you telling me that the security of, you know, for our national leader, you know, the most powerful man in the world, cannot be protected from a guy with a $29 rifle? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
That's scary to think about. And then the other thing is, that it might have been during a break that we talked about this, but you mentioned the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't have to remember the truth because I know the truth.
Right.
I know what if I don't lie, I have to remember lies.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to remember the truth because I just know the truth. You can ask me at any time if I told you the truth, ask me about it at any point in time, years down the road, and I'll be able to tell it to you.
Yeah. And that's exactly right.
If you lie to me, and then all of a sudden I catch you in the lie, and this goes back to the accountability thing. We don't hold anybody accountable for the lies that we catch them in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, and it's so devastating to relationships, you know, and to your point, my dad used to say, look, if you're going to lie, you better have a great memory.
Yeah, exactly. You better be able to remember that lie so you can tell it again, right? Otherwise, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and the thing is that happens is that it's like a cancer, because you can't just lie and say, well, you know, I'm just going to hold this off. It's just going to be over in this little dark corner, of my character. It permeates it. Next thing you know, it's being pronounced in other areas. And that's the tough thing about deception, is that we can, you know, try to convince ourselves that it's only in that area. You know, I got a problem just only in that area. Oh, do you really? I remember I had taken a course study a number of years ago, which really came out of a study of Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was a consummate time manager, and he was one that was a student of values and virtue. And he was the kind of guy that would take a virtue, like, for example, lying. And he'd say, okay, this week I'm going to make sure I tell the truth at any cost. And constantly, every day, that idea of that he had to tell the truth and not lie was right in front of him. Which is to say that, you know, nobody's perfect, okay? We're all working on these issues. But for him, he said, okay, I'm going to work on this. So for an entire week, he would focus on that. Anyway, out of that developed this concept of time management. And the basic issue, which was done by Dr. Charles Hobbs, was that there are incongruities in our life. And those incongruities speak of the inconsistencies and the deceptions that we have in life. And his basic premise was, if you have those in your life, you can't manage time. It will always be a problem, because it just is one of those speed bumps in your world that get in the way of your ability to manage time and to be an effective leader, an effective person, a father, husband, all those good things that we would all hope and want to be. Well, thank you so much for being with us and sharing a part of your day with us. That is a wrap for us. We'll see you mañana right here on the SDG Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health.
Okay.
Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.